Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. But it's not just Styles and Watkins. We are joined by our Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Brendan Nunez and Frankie Cardicelli. And they, you know, we need help here. Call in. We'll see if Steven gets you in a second. Trying to raise the guys is how they feel right now.
Spirits.
Because they'd That's be the in word. Vegas right now. You'd be in Vegas right now.
We're torn.
If it wasn't for Grand Theft Alvarado, you'd be in Vegas. I truly believe that. All the length in the world.
From a serious standpoint, he really did change the tone of that game.
Weird how like a 6-foot defender can really make an impact like that.
No comment.
As soon as he got away with the corner sneak and steal thing where he hides in the corner, and I knew the game.
I love that the crowd started to like get louder him know. Yeah. Kieran was probably so confused.
Yeah.
And then you find out real quick.
It hurts that it happened to the Kings though. I've watched like the highlight reel. I think Rob Perez puts it together, and I'm like always laughing at. I'm like, God, did they really fall for that? And then it just happens to the Kings.
He hid right in front of De'Aaron's wife.
Yeah.
And I guarantee she was screaming at De'Aaron.
You know what I'm thinking? Do you think, and we would have to get the breakdown, do you think it happens more on the road because the other team is louder, the crowd is louder? I don't know, because if it's at home, Maybe the other team has the ball, right? So maybe if it's at home, you could hear from your bench. But De'Aaron couldn't hear anything, I'm sure. And it was right next to his bench.
I definitely heard people screaming like it
from their bench?
Not from their bench, no, but I just think that at home, I think maybe the noise kind of blends in more. And I mean, I don't know. It's a tough question. I haven't watched enough Pelicans games to know how often he does it or how often he tries it and it doesn't work, I think, is the better question. How often does it not work for him?
Right. The issue is that everybody knows this is a thing. Yeah. And it's like, it's kind of just a mental lapse that like, make sure when you're looking down the court that you see five defenders is all.
You got to have someone, you got to be reminded.
It's a funny play. It's creative.
Is it Bush League?
No. Yes. No. It's fine.
Is it Bush League?
Yes. I mean, that's like super
when shameful. He's like really crouching down in the corners when it's kind of crazy. This one, he just kind of stood there and bent over a little bit. Like
he was kind of like, you could tell he was
hiding a little bit
on the prowl for sure.
I don't think it's Bush League.
No, I like a.
It's not.
I think it is. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying he should like get an elbow for it, but I think like it's something that it's like, all right.
I would
like,
definitely.
It's a little bit of, again, it's like you're. Little brother would do that if you're playing against them to try. Like, that's something you do when you're trying to get the edge because, you know, you can't beat somebody straight up, which is fine. That's what makes Jose Alvarado.
But to me, it is no more Bush League than flopping.
Sure, but flopping also sucks. Like, I mean, just because it happens doesn't mean it should be okay.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's like a matter of it. If it's your team, it's great. It's fun. Right. Oh, I love watching that. And then if
what
it's
an again, idiot those guys are.
Yeah, not your team, it's really annoying. And it is really annoying.
Well,
really
now to take it back to pickup, right? You just started a game, so you don't know. You're not playing with your buddies. It's a random four other guys. You just get in the game and somebody yells, ball, 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 and you pass it to them and it's on the other team. That was always a long-standing.
That was always a long-standing conversation,
whether that's Bush League or not. And they'll say, hey, well, no, who's on your team?
Yeah.
And you're not playing shirts and skins or whatever. You don't know who is who. And they're like, ball, 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 and you pass it to them and your team is mad at you. But it happens so quick, nobody's saying don't pass
it. That's cheap.
Yeah.
That's really cheap.
Bush League.
Oh, I do that. Yeah, I do that.
You do that.
With people you just met.
I am judging
you. No, well, I don't know.
You're an instigator. You're an instigator.
I am for sure. Yeah.
Wow.
And if it happened to me, I'd be super bad about it. Yeah.
You're wrong for that.
I'd just be annoyed with myself for falling for it.
You guys are trying to start fights with strangers playing pickup.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying to win.
Just don't believe in your own abilities. That's what that tells me. You gotta try.
It's a mental game. It's a mental game.
Wow. Definitely
gets me more upset. It definitely makes me want to beat you more. That's for sure.
You just gotta take that extra second. If it happens, it's kind of honestly happens once.
Yeah.
Shame on you. Happens twice.
Absolutely.
Shame on me.
Absolutely.
If you get it again. And then it's like, okay, you do have to pay attention here. The first one, cool, because probably early. It's only 2-0. Right. You can still come back.
Right.
But if it happens and it's game point, that's on you, brother. 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. Steven, you got a question for the guys. It's King's Roundtable with Frankie Cardicelli and Brandon Nunes. What you got for us?
Good morning, boys.
Morning.
My favorite episode of the week.
Hey, there you go.
All right.
Man, gotta love the King's Roundtable. Okay, this could potentially be a dumb question, but you know what? I'm gonna ask it anyway. All right, I asked the boys over at on the Drive Guys yesterday, and I kind of wanted to get your guys' take on it. So, free ball isn't hitting. Why don't they start driving the basket and hitting twos instead? I understand that three is more than two, and I understand that like shooters are gonna shoot, and they could possibly shoot themselves out of a slump once they see that first one go in. But if the three is just not hitting, why do we not see the guys just switch it up a little bit, start driving the basket? Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Steven.
Who wants to handle that one?
I mean, I think that they go hand in hand is kind of what it comes down to, right? Is that like the shooting has to be there in order to enable the driving. And like you look at those three guys that we're talking about, that's not De'Aaron and Domas, Kevin, Harrison, and Keegan. These are shooters. Like, not that they can't cut and play off of their gravity and just in that free flowing offense, but they're shooters. And like, I kind of think it's on De'Aaron and Domas and Malik, really, the three to get into the paint and make plays from there. And if you see an opportunity, then go for it. But I mean, they shot 38 shots in the paint last night in that game against the Pelicans. They just only made 19 of them, you know, so the rate wasn't going down great. I think De'Aaron does a great job at it. Again, Domas and Malik, those are the three that I think, like, you trust off the dribble. All the others are, like, backdoor cuts, you know? So I think the three is just such naturally a part of their offense because they're so good at it, and they have shooters.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of switching things up, like we talked about earlier, switching things up when they aren't working, because the Kings are a top 5 3-point shooting team in the league as far as makes go, but they're 20th in 3-point percentage. When the shots aren't falling, you kind of got to switch things up and attack more, because I was wondering where they are in points in the paint. They're 19th in points in the paint this year, which I feel like that's a little low when you have De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis on your team. And
yeah,
I think maybe being more aggressive on that end. And of course, Keegan Murray has not been healthy and he's been struggling. And Harrison Barnes, who I think is very good when he's downhill and going towards the paint, isn't doing that because he's now a fifth option. So I think that's a good point. I think I would like to see the Kings be a little more aggressive and getting in the paint, because like Brendan pointed out, it's kind of De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk right now, and Sabonis when he's on. But the Kings as a team really rely on the three-point shot more than anything.
Yeah, that's super interesting, because it's definitely – I mean, I know we all played some sort of like elementary or fundamental basketball.
You've seen the Max Preps.
And you've seen it. Yeah, I've seen Frankie's Max Preps, yo. It's crazy. But we all know, like, you're taught growing up, like, if your shot's not falling as a team, get to the rim. You can't keep shooting. You're not going to shoot yourself out of it. And I wonder if that's one of those things that I think everybody kind of fundamentally has instilled in them. And by the time you get to the NBA, is that still a fact? Like, is, you know, getting to the rim is a tough task to do. Yeah. Like, not everyone's able to do it. For some guys, kind of to Brendan's point, like, it's might be better for Kevin Huerter to try and work through his slump shooting threes than trying to get to the rim, just because he might not be able to do that. You know, like, he might just be such an elite shooter that 3-point shot might be better than a Kevin Huerter contested layup. Like, I would much rather have Keegan Murray take a leaning three than trying to really do anything in the paint.
And that's kind of how the Kings are built. They are two very good, you know, De'Aaron Fox is very good at penetrating the paint and scoring, which he does. Domantas Sabonis can bruise around and get in the paint and score. And then you have three shooters. You have Harrison Barnes, you have Kevin Huerter, and you have Keegan Murray. Two of those, Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray, were two of the best, two of the top 6 3-point shooters in the NBA last year, as far as like 3-point makes and percentage. So it's kind of how the Kings are built. But yeah, Kevin Huerter has been doing a little more of driving, and I think he did some decent work in the paint the last couple games. But I completely agree. I'd rather see those guys get going from three. And Keegan Murray, who struggled, I think the Kings really need him to knock down those shots as well. But I think it's the other guys too. Like, Trey Lyles can knock down the three, we all know. But he's a guy that can also cause damage in the paint when he's playing. Harrison Barnes, again, fifth option. But maybe being a little more aggressive going down when the Kings are stagnant on offense and the threes aren't falling, I'd rather see Harrison Barnes drive than force a shot. So, yeah, it's just kind of how the Kings are built. But 19th in points in the paint is not ideal.
I do think the 3-point percentage is just going to be a little lower this year, partially because De'Aaron is taking a lot more threes. And, like, I think they're going down at a good rate. I like that he's taking them. Sometimes they're a little too sweet for me, you know, but I think that's part of the process here in my mind. But 8.2, 35.7 a game, or 8.2, 35.7%. Yeah, and then that's their league leader in three-point attempts per game.
Yeah.
You know? And then right after that, you get to Keegan Murray right above 7. He's only knocking down 30%. Which I feel like is not being talked about very much. And, like, that's fine because we are all are confident that's going to come back, right? But that is definitely playing a part here, too.
Another side note with the three-point shooting, as my microphone falls away from me. Kings are 3-7 this year when they shoot under 35% from three. They shoot, obviously, 34 on Monday night. So it's a lot of forcing, I think, when they aren't falling and trying to kind of help you get back on the right track. And when they don't, things go off the rails pretty quick.
Yeah, I found that number when I was doing the post-game live stream. They shot 35%, I think, on the nose in Houston. They lost that game. But every game they've shot above 35.1% from three, I believe they are 8 or 9 and 0 in those games. So it really does seem like, to kind of what we've been talking about for this whole time, it does really feel like it's as simple as Kings hit their shots. They're probably going to play well and look more like the team that we expect them to be. They don't hit their shots. They don't have a counter to go to. They're not driving the rim. They're not hitting.
The defense.
They just
Mike
become
Brown would
pretty
say,
one-dimensional.
Then we should just be able to guard people so we can win games when we're not hitting shots.
And I would say that's helped them some quality games. Like, I don't think they win as many or have as many quality wins this year if they are playing the style that they were last year. Right?
No,
I don't think you beat Denver. I don't think you beat the Minnesotas of the world if you don't play defense and you just try and do what the Pacers are doing this year or what the Kings did last year.
Yeah, and going back to what Frankie was saying when it comes to, warming up, you know, can Herter shoot some twos or the counterpunch of what Steven said, very similar to baseball as well. If you're slumping, you want to shorten up, hit the ball the other way, just like Aaron Judge does, but because of that small ballpark, the ball got to get to a break.
Okay.
Get back, we see you, Austin. We will get to you. And the question is, as presently constructed, can the Kings still get the first seed? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. in the heart, in the meat and potatoes of our Kings
in
Roundtable.
It's like a GTA reference?
No. Hold on. Frankie Cardicelli, Brandon Nunes, our Sacktown Sports Kings Insider. And, you know, I've kind of flipped Chris here to liking my Gus Johnson.
I actually love it.
Gus Johnson. Okay. Do the full thing.
Okay.
Please.
Cade McNamara in the swamp. He looks back. He's doing it himself. There it is. That's all I got.
Where does Cade McNamara play again?
Somewhere. I think you left Michigan.
Yeah.
But I just feel like
the swamps of Michigan.
The swamps. It's always a swamp. It's always a swamp. Or you have, what else you have? Jaden McDaniels on the Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves, yeah.
Yeah. So you have Daniels in Death Valley. He drops back. That's all I got.
Wait, how far away is he from the mic when he's screaming? Because he's screaming.
I think they have a great audio engeer who
just
brings it down. Yeah.
It sounds like King Amari going to the basket. That's what
a lot of mic pop filters.
Yeah,
probably like three of them just lined up.
He's speaking through a pillow. I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm thinking of that too.
As we break down the Kings and whether or not we do a segment on this show, Chris is cracking up right now. We do a segment on this show called Beaming or Dreaming. You're beaming if you think that the Kings will be able to go further than they did last season. You are dreaming if you think that they can't. And real
light
quick.
Light the beam!
Yeah.
Light it!
Light that thing
so
up.
Good.
So
who's that?
It's Draymond.
That's Draymond.
On
the pod.
Oh my.
On the pod that
light
we have.
Light it.
That we have not heard. Before I get my answers from you guys on whether you are beaming or dreaming, let's go to Austin, who's been hanging out during the break. 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Austin? You got a question for the guys? What you got for us?
quick question. Thank you so much. Wonderful show as always. So a question regarding the Fox's speed. You know how, like, in the NFL you have Tyreek Hill's quick speed? My question, it might sound dumb, but why in the NBA is Fox's speed not pronounced when it comes to all the pundits on ESPN, NBA Live, whatever? You know, like, it sounds like a stupid question, but Beeman, by the way, yeah, definitely, Sacktown 916, we're going all the way. But why is De'Aaron Fox's speed not pronounced like it is in the NFL and other sports? Thank you, gentlemen.
It's a great question. Huh. We've talked about it on this show before, and I don't know if it would be the shuttle drill that they do, or there's right. no – right, when you see the NBA Combine on NBA TV, you're thinking, this is cool, but there's no main, you know, 40-yard dash if you're talking – if you're talking football or the 60, if you're talking baseball, there's no measure, I think, to start
right.
that would say, hey, De'Aaron is X, right? But I do feel like it got talked about more with Russell Westbrook, to be fair.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I go to what you're saying, that, like, there's no top speed that we can even compare to. Like, football, when Tyreek's in the open field, ball in his hands, he's just sprinting and just... all out.
They have 40s. Like, you can, right. like, clock their 40s.
De'Aaron has to maintain a dribble the whole time.
Right.
But where are the next-gen stats of fastest player? Why? I'm sure they're out there, but why aren't they promoted?
Yeah.
Maybe prevalent. It's just because basketball is more about high flyers and shooting threes. Nobody – it's just not the same as speed isn't as important as it is in a football. It is.
It's a way smaller –
way smaller
court.
It's not that it's not as important. Like, it's just not talked about as much.
I don't think we see Fox be able to get out. And I mean, he does it at least once or twice a game, I think. But that's the point. It's like once or twice a game, he gets out and just completely goes coast to coast for, you know, a lay-in or a slam dunk, whatever you want to call it. But I think with Tyreek Hill and guys in the NFL, whether it be running backs, wide receivers, you know, they break away, I think, a lot more often than guys in the NBA do. Because as far as, you know, smaller playing surface, like we talked about, more defenders, more obstacles, More room to run the NFL. I'm not saying it's easier to break away from tackles and
but 100 yards.
You can go wide. You can go wide. It's not happening in the NBA.
Sports science. You're moving as fast as a school bus on a Tuesday.
Breaking free in the NBA, I think, is a lot harder. Yeah. I think as far as just the small playing surface and the bodies that are taking up the playing surface, like, it's harder for Fox to get free and really put his speed on display. But when he does, it's a spectacle, and I think people really take notice of the fact that he is the fastest player in the NBA. Except I can't remember who
Maxey.
Someone, I think it was Keith Smith, said that someone's faster than, did he say it was Maxey that's faster than him now?
I think it was Maxey.
I don't know.
I would also say, I think De'Aaron very rarely goes top speed anymore.
Yeah. And he can't right now. I mean, he even says he's still being limited by his ankle right now. He said he was going to do a windmill dunk the other night against, I think it was Denver.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just can't right now. He's being cautious, but I mean, we're not even seeing him at his peak right now.
That's what I keep saying, that the thing about, the reason why I feel like it doesn't get talked about is because he doesn't really create highlights, as crazy as that is to say. Like, and I think we've talked about it before, but like his dunks, he doesn't dunk
like
a lot.
Nerdy highlights.
Well, like, I just, like, yesterday I saw a highlight, I believe on House of Highlights, of Giannis dunking, you know, only using one
that
dribble.
That was absurd.
You don't see that. Like, you could use De'Aaron Fox in a similar highlight. It's just, it doesn't feel like, to, I think, Frankie's point, like, you very rarely, once or twice a game, do you really see that even used, and then he lays it in on the fast. But like, I think you could weaponize it or whatever you want to say. Like, it just doesn't really happen enough, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't have it.
Well, I think he's changed his play style. He even tweeted, I think it was last summer, how Headband Fox went crazy, or head when he wore the bandana. Because he was like, if you watch like those highlight reels of the 2018-19 season, that was when he was breaking away full court and just completely windmilling on people. And that was also, I think, the same year he turned his ankle. The first ankle injury he suffered was that year. So I think we've seen him kind of evolve from being a high flyer or a, you know, highlight reel dunker into a guy who we've seen him. He's very good with the step back, and he gets the mid-range going. And he's still able to get into the paint and whatnot. But it's not quite with the explosiveness to that extent. It's still explosive, but not the, you know, I'm going to go and just completely dunk on two people. He has it in the bag.
He'll have, like, 5 a year. Like, holy. Like, remember, there were a handful
last year.
He had
one this
Olenek
year so
last
far.
Year.
Right. Last year, the dunks.
On Okongwu, the one from the side with its left was ridiculous.
Kelly Olenek one was crazy.
Just the NBA in general, their premium is more about vertical leaps. And you'll say, he's got a 50-inch vertical leap just versus the speed factor. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Emmy, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Emmy? What you got for us and the guys?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you, first of all? What is this rumor going on that Sasha may be dead? Please don't do that. A lot of people like him, and he needs definitely more minutes.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on that?
No, thank you for the call, Emmy. Yeah, we talked yesterday, Chris and I did, about I'd throw him into the starting lineup. We actually didn't
I thought you were going to say, I'd throw him into any trade.
No, if and I know you said, Frankie, that people were being a little bit hard on Harrison Barnes, so I would love to get your take on it. But, I mean, this, I get the whole game. Is it, you can't see the whole game in the box score. But we're watching the games, right? It's not just that. And I just don't know how much you would truly lose depending on the team, right? I know Sasha could not handle a Zion or anything like that. I don't know how well Harrison did either. But I just don't know how much of a drop-off you'd actually see if you put Sasha Vezenkov in the starting lineup over Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, I think we're closing in on – I'm not closing in, but I think the discussion is now – I think we're able to have it. That would it be the worst thing in the world if they switched it up and put Trey Lyles or Sasha in the starting lineup?
Sure, yeah.
And had, you know, HB come off the bench, because I think a bench of Keon Ellis or Davion Mitchell with Malik Monk and Harrison Barnes off the bench, I feel like that's kind of enticing. And you kind of have that presence of veterans and people that know the offense, and maybe not as much of a drop-off as what we've seen before. But I think Sasha's played well in the minutes that he's been out there. I think that he's been actually a little surprising as far as there hasn't been as many shortcomings on the defensive end. He's not a versatile athletic defender, but he's kind of crafty and just kind of knows how to be in the right spot at the right time, and has had a couple blocks that have been surprising too. And the shot looks good. Every time he shoots, I think it's going in. And I think that he definitely would be more comfortable.
He thinks it's going in too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
He's a madman in the best way possible. Yes. I love it. And they tell him, like, you better shoot it every single time. That's what you're out here for.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, TC, we see you. Hold on. Throughout the break, we'll get to you. We know you got a question for the guys. One more segment. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Taking you up to 2 p.m. And I got to be honest here, you know, we love to pull the curtain back on this show. And this is actually an encore segment.
Bonus!
With the Kings Roundtable with Frankie Cardicelli and Brandon Nunes. They got to run off to practice.
Last week...
We had an extra segment, and we had said, oh, well, they're done, and they weren't really done, right, or something like that. And now I said, oh, they're not done, and they look at me as we're going to break saying, oh, we're not done? They're not done yet. They're not
done
yet.
Job ain't finished.
There you go. Job ain't finished, because everybody loves when we do the Kings Roundtable, including our guy TC, 916-339-1140, who wants to be a part of the conversation. TC, what you got for us and the round table?
What's up, brother?
What's up? What you got for us, man?
Oh man, look, check it out. Hey, I got a trade proposal first though. So like first and foremost, I know fans, everybody gonna fan how they fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when we have the game and all that, as fans, hey, the light the beam chant gotta come back. It's been up and down with that situation. But also, when the team is on a run like the other night, I know it was a lot going on with that game, but leave the referees alone. You get what I'm saying? If we're on a run like that, the whole ref, you suck. I know everybody does it, but in my opinion, that we didn't get any calls after that.
Mm.
So, like, with the fans, like, when we're up and the fans are like, ref, F you suck,
It
throws them off, and we don't get any calls for that. But I can't tell everybody how to fan, but just as a Sacramento Kings fan, listen, you guys think about that. Also, on a trade proposal for Lauri Markkanen, I know the Jazz liked it, Harrison Barnes, and they were after Harrison Barnes. What do you guys think about, would you guys give up Harrison Barnes and 2 first-round picks for Lauri Markkanen? Me, personally, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Thanks for the call, TC. I will be honest before we get to the trade proposal, because, Brandon, I can see by your face that you have thoughts. Yeah. I will be honest here. The ref you suck chant does make me uncomfortable. It makes me slightly uncomfortable. I got to be honest with you.
Can you explain?
Because you're just saying, ref, you suck, and you're screaming at this guy.
Do better.
And I know I'm tinfoil hat, and TC is saying you didn't get calls after it. But if you were a ref, what would make you think, yeah, I do suck.
Now,
let me help out this home team.
I want a ref to crowd to hype up the
crowd.
Right.
I do too.
Draymond on the crowd.
That's what I'm saying. If Draymond doesn't get, I mean, it doesn't
Tony
hurt
Brothers.
When Draymond, you know, talks all that talk. Like, it shouldn't matter when the crowd talks either.
I know.
It happens
but
ref, if you watch League Pass, it happens in every other
arena. No, every
arena.
Stadium. Every stadium.
In every sport.
Every arena.
In every
right.
sport. Yeah. They're getting, I mean, it's the most unpopular job in sports is being an official, umpire, ref, whatever.
And they get paid well. Don't get me wrong. Sure. I've looked it up. They do well.
But nobody.
They do well, but it makes me uncomfortable.
No one's going to come out there and say, wow, they had a good game tonight, though. So I get like the thought process behind
that.
That's
so
like,
true.
The thought process behind the ref
great
had a good
game by Tony Brothers.
Yeah,
right.
No one's going to come out there and say they had a great game. And that's unfortunate for them, but that's what they signed up for. But I mean, I don't really fully back the being concerned about refs starting to call the game differently because fans are being, you know, mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it wasn't an excuse because the Kings let that game get out of hand. Sure, there were a couple of weird calls. Like, Brendan did have a tweet which got some backlash about how he thought the Fox call, when Fox got hit in the mouth and started bleeding, it was a foul on Fox.
It was.
By definition, yeah, you put two hands on someone's back, it's a foul. So it was. The fact that Fox is bleeding, though, it looks bad and it made people upset, and I get that completely. But the Kings let that game get
contact
out of hand
sport.
On their own. They what was it, a 14-0 run to begin the second quarter from New Orleans, I think? Like, that had nothing to do with the officials, in my opinion.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. I just had to say that. I guess I'm alone here. It just makes me uncomfortable. You're just kind of, you know, chastising someone. I don't know. I'm just there. I'm just like,
you should have been there for the Marvin Bagley game last year.
Oh, my goodness.
You want to feel like someone was singled out.
That was insane.
You want to feel an awkward environment. Oh,
I'm glad I was.
But he healed, too.
Yeah. But, Brendan, I saw your face when TC threw out that trade proposal. What are your thoughts?
So Chris and I looked at each other because yesterday on the way out the building, we're kind of talking for a sec, and I think I literally presented the exact same trade to him.
Wow.
And I don't know if it's enough. It's probably not enough. I think maybe I said three firsts or whatever it is, but you know, Lauri Markkanen is on a little bit of a different timeline than some of those other guys. I know they just got John Collins, even though he was practically free.
Right.
But Lauri Markkanen, 1 year left, and then next year he's a partially guaranteed. Like, Danny Ainge is a guy that loves his future draft picks. Are you willing to do your 20, I think you can go to 31 right now, say 2029 and 2030 swap or something? Like, I think that could even be a little too much, but like, I think it's an interesting conversation, right? Like, and I like that he brings it up because I feel like that name is never talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be one of those type of guys. We like mentioned the name Jimmy Butler yesterday, for example. Like, again, these are long shots, but things change so fast in the NBA. I think these are the type of guys that you should try to be thinking about.
Can you also explain the, because I can hear people yelling at their radio, you're just going to trade Harrison Barnes? He doesn't even have any value. Harrison Barnes has some value out there. Now, it's not, of course, you know, it's not going to be able to get you a star, but like, he's not a negative value.
No, it would be what OKC did with Al Horford. I forget what the other side of that deal was, but like, you bring in somebody and you kind of rehab their value a little bit and you sit and be patient and wait for a team like Milwaukee that you don't think Milwaukee would love to have Harrison Barnes instead of Malik Beasley as that fifth starter.
Right.
Like, HB has value, and I don't think that number that he's at is like atrocious. Maybe it's a little high, but I think it's fine. And it's also really important to have a tradable salary on your team, right? Like, when we're talking about these deals,
but that's part of the reason
they
did the deal. And a lot of people said, well, why'd you bring Harrison back? It made sense to bring him back. Very similar. You know, teams do this all the time, and it wasn't necessarily their end game. You know,
Warriors with D'Angelo Russell.
Warriors with D'Angelo Russell. Warriors with Jordan Poole.
Right.
Jordan Poole. I mean, they knew at the time he had more value, but they found somebody. Washington did it. So you bring up the Bucks. You know I'm huge on Bobby Portis.
I didn't even know that.
I'm a big Bobby Portis guy.
Crazy eyes.
I think Bobby Portis, Bobby Portis and Trey Lyles, that's the dog that you really need. So give me Harrison Barnes. You said Milwaukee. Because I think Jazz makes it.
Well. You know, I'm talking in place of Malik Beasley. I think Bobby Portis might be better than, I don't know. I don't know if they'd swap HB for Portis. I don't know.
You're not high on Portis.
No, I don't mind Portis. I'm saying the Kings probably would. I don't know if
Milwaukee Milwaukee, that's their guy off the bench.
Well, throw Davion in there.
His value is Very
the Kings will, questionable one for sure.
They'll throw him in a trade, but not in a game.
Come on now.
No, I think that the HB thing's interesting.
He'll get
because
back in. That was just a bad joke.
Again, Harrison Barnes on the Kings might not be Harrison Barnes on another team because he might not be the fifth option on whatever right. team trades for him because he is still, I mean, he's 31 years old and he's a guy that if we saw it when Keegan Murray was out, Harrison Barnes' numbers were great. Not great, but for him, like 16 points per game. I think he was like on 40% shooting from three. His volume went increased. Like mm-hmm. when he has more opportunities, he performs better. So if you put him on an opportunity like Utah and that happens, maybe the Jazz get a guy they can kind of have as a veteran presence where they kind of have a youth movement. But I think Markkanen's a guy that is intriguing to keep an eye on because Utah, they're not having a very good start to the year. I just wonder how much it would cost because I think Markkanen's controllable. I think he has another year in his contract.
He has one more and it's a non-guaranteed, but I'm sure
he might change things. I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe
partially guaranteed.
A Davion, HB, and a couple first round picks, maybe that gets it done. I mean, that's a move where it's not really going for a versatile defender, but a guy who's offensively talented and can maybe...
Size.
Yeah,
makes
size.
Bigger, and, yeah.
Yeah, he's not like a OG Anunoby. Those are two different completely players, but, I mean, it's a very good... It's an all-star caliber forward that I think would fit in well with this offense.
It also could potentially alleviate your backup center problem also, where you could just stagger those two, and you could probably run Laurie at the backup center when Domas isn't out there.
Yeah, what do you mean problem? Have you watched JaVale McGee?
Hey, man.
JaVale is
this
good
your last segment?
JaVale is good.
Y'all got to go.
Couple minutes left here. Guys, let's say nobody does anything. Let's say the Kings just stand pat, kind of full circle how we started this conversation. They don't have to do anything right now. I felt like a genius at some points during this season, and right now I don't, which is funny that the Kings just beat the defending champs, and that's how much I think the in-season tournament actually mattered because we came in here and did a show yesterday and it was sad. You were in the locker room and you were in the post game presser. It was sad, right? I think it matters. And not to be too much prisoner of the moment here, but if they don't make a move, do you think it is possible for the Kings? And this goes back to beaming or dreaming, whether you're essentially beaming or dreaming or not. Do you think the Kings can get the first seed as presently constructed? One seed.
The number one overall seed in the Western Conference.
I'm going to say unlikely. That doesn't mean the Kings are a bad team or they're not going to finish high in the Western Conference. I mean, right now, among the noise, which is loud, again, as we talked about, after losses, they are still a top. They're fifth in the West right now. Fifth in the West right now. So that's, not horrible. Compared to what
for a team that
nobody's
going
on a run
say,
yet.
They have
nobody's
not played their best
run.
Basketball.
Yeah,
you lost here in Fox 5 games. You lost Keegan Murray, who's still battling injuries. You have to hope that's not serious. We're going to see if he's practicing today and if he came out of the other game on Monday's game all right. But we have not seen them firing in all cylinders yet. We really haven't seen them. We've seen what it looks like when they are in pieces, but they put together a good winning streak. And outside of that, they've lost to a lot of the same similar faces like the Warriors and the Pelicans. Let's see them play the rest of the field, which they need to still kind of do. And go from there. But I do think when you look at the Denvers, I think they're going to figure it out. Minnesota seems like they're not going to slow down. I mean, they're playing really good basketball. And the NBA schedule makers gave them two easy games this week with them not making the in-season tournament. I can't remember who they're playing. I think they might be playing Utah. Mm-hmm. And another easy team they're playing. Oh, the Spurs tonight. So they're going to play San Antonio.
The Warriors at the Blazers.
Where's the Blazers? So
on 3 days of rest.
Kings shouldn't have made the knockout round.
So what you're saying is they're incentivizing not making the in-season tournament. Mm-hmm. So maybe that changes things.
Brendan?
It's a long shot probably, but like I guess it's somewhat within reach. Mm-hmm. Like I think they lived off their offense last year, and I think there's been defensive progress. I think another part of the offense is like you're just not surprising anybody anymore. Everybody has a full scouting report. You need to bring out those counters and they're being developed, but like it's hard to, they'd have to go on a big run at some point. And to me, it's like, I guess we'd probably be talking about like post trade deadline and you added somebody and it clicked right away. Like it's a long shot for me.
There you go. All right. Well, you're saying there's a chance.
Kings have only lost to four teams this year.
It's true.
Even still.
When are we going to, that's like when we were naming, that's like when we were numbering the shows. When are we going to stop doing that? What's the number?
It stops being true.
Was he going to get to five?
No, I think five's too many. No.
I think
five's, then you're just saying things.
Five's the line.
Five is definitely the line. Yeah, for sure. All right, thanks, guys.
Four.
Sactown Sports Kings Insider. Speaking of Ford, that was our Kings Roundtable. We do it every Wednesday. Thank you to Brendan Nunes. Thank you to Frankie Cardicelli. Got to run to the Kings practice. The hardest two working men at the station.
Wow.
When we get back, we will continue to have the conversation. We see you on the call, Edward, in terms of beaming or dreaming. We will get to you right after the break. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Thank you again to Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes as Frankie frantically checks social media to see if Juan Soto will be joining the Yankees. So we have two Yankees fans.
Two of them, yeah.
So Frankie makes sense. Why is Jason Ross a Yankees fan?
Jason's cousin, I believe, is Greg Nettles, who spent some time with the Yankees, and I believe that's what it stems from. But
that makes sense.
I know that's at least, I know at the very least that's a fact. So
of course, yeah. I mean, that's just another one of those teams where you're always going to find something.
Of course, yeah. Every workplace has a Yankee fan buried somewhere in there, and I shouldn't say buried, but there's a Yankee fan in every office across America.
Most iconic, I guess.
It's like the Cowboys,
sportswear,
for sure.
The Yankee hat. Most
ooh,
iconic,
that's a great question.
Symbol.
I think
probably,
so.
Right?
Yeah. I got a friend who wears like a camo Yankee hat, does not care about sports in the slightest.
It's Yankees.
It's either Yankee or it's probably Yankees. I think just for, culturally, like it does. It does kind of mean Dodgers too, though. Don't sleep the Dodger logo is,
especially if you're visiting. If you are not from the U.S. and you're visiting and you need a hat,
that's the thing. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking of. Yeah,
a Yankee
hat, probably.
You are
an Arizona Diamondbacks
hat. Yeah, a D-backs hat,
a swamp hat.
Yeah, in the swamp. Okay, I'm not doing it. Styles and Watkins, 916-339-1140. Edward has been hanging on through the break. Wants to talk beaming or dreaming. What's up, Edward? You are on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
Well, I'm dreaming, but anybody who's beaming is really dreaming. And if you think the Kings are going to win the West, you are hallucinating wildly. I see the Kings as fighting hard to finish sixth.
Man.
Denver, Minnesota, New Orleans are all ahead of them. The Clippers and Phoenix will be ahead of them unless they rest guys like last year. And the Kings are going to fight it out with the Warriors, Lakers, and Dallas, maybe Houston, for the sixth spot and the four play-in spots. The Kings are just as likely to be a play-in team as number six. They're not finishing higher than sixth. And they're not. One of the reasons is they're not going to be able to make a trade because of the Herder trade. Monty has tied his own hands. As I understand it, and I'd hope to get on with Frankie and Brendan because maybe they would know. As I understand it, if the Kings wanted to offer something for Markkanen or Ben Simmons or something like Harrison Barnes and a couple of number two picks, the best number one picks, the best picks we could offer them would be 27 and 29 because of the Herder trade.
Right. Mm.
So, you know, that's not a good offer. So I don't see them picking up somebody of note who wants first-round picks, because that's a long way away. And I don't know why he structured it that way, but I think he's tied his own hands. Now, what I'm looking at this being a down year, but there is one free agent that we can pick up next year who will immediately make us a contender for best in the West.
Who is that?
It is the second half of the two guys who know each other better than any other players in the league, know their tendencies, know what they do, will never be surprised, and play the same position. Valanciunas.
He and
Sabonis have played for years on the national team.
Right.
When they play each other, it's mostly going to be a wash. I don't know how many points Sabonis had. Valanciunas, I think, was like 18 and 12.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to always just kind of negate each other because neither is going to dominate the other. They know each other too well. But when their number four or five guy is negating your number two guy, you're not going to beat that team. And if you want to put Sasha guarding Zion, good luck. So anyway, that, I see that their hands are tied this year. And unless somebody like Sasha comes out of nowhere, I wish they'd play Colby Jones and see what they've got. Because I just don't see him making being able to make a trade with that Herder thing hanging over their head.
No, that's a great call, Edward. A lot of good stuff to kind of go through there.
Yeah.
First off, as far as the Kings fighting it out as a sixth seed, we've seen this before. I think the question becomes, who do you think is real?
Yeah.
And as much
injuries are massive.
Right?
They're so big.
As much as the Clippers did handle the Kings, it's still hard for me to think that they finally figured it out and their missing piece was James Harden. That's just hard for me to figure out. That's hard for me to fathom, to be honest. But it could happen, right? I just think that there are only a couple teams that you can truly slot in. Because he said the Mavs ahead of the Kings too,
yeah,
right?
So he said Pelicans.
I mean, if you're six, you named off a lot of teams. The Pelicans, again, what has been the problem? You have the Pelicans and the Clippers who the if factor is huge,
yeah.
Right?
Health.
You got to stay
That's
healthy.
All health.
You got to, you know, Zion wants to be in
Kings
New Orleans
too,
this
for sure,
week.
But yeah.
Who knows what Zion's going to want to do next week. Right. So the only teams that I, at this point in time, that I am fully bought in on, and he might have said, I don't know if he said OKC or not, the only teams that I'm fully bought in on would be the Nuggets,
yep.
Of course. And I guess I would say the T-Wolves, but it's still pretty early for them. I think it's just fairly early to tell. But the Thunder, the Nuggets, that's all we know is going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is fighting for respect in that category.
Yeah.
And then you have the older teams like the Lakers and the Warriors, who I could understand it, and they're sitting fifth right now. But it's kind of hard for me to talk about even though I have the Timberwolves, I believe in the Timberwolves, I had the Timberwolves in that top 1, 2, 3 area. But besides the Timberwolves and the Nuggets to this point, I can't be bought in on the Clippers yet.
Sure.
I can't be bought in on the Thunder yet. I can't be bought in on really any of these teams until we get a little further along.
Yeah, I was like, we got to wait a little bit more into the season, like 40 to 50 games into the season to really get a good grasp of what the playoff
And that doesn't mean you have to be
like.
Bought in on the Kings either.
No, exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's injuries are going to play a factor for every team, and how they fall is just completely random. I mean, we just don't know at a time like this what the teams are going to look like the second half of the season. Who knows what teams are going to look like post trade deadline. All that stuff definitely is super fluid. As far as the Kings' future picks is concerned, this season it's a top 14 protected pick that goes to the Atlanta Hawks. That's pretty much going to happen. Like, the Kings are no longer going to have trades that are picks that are restricted after this year. And from what I've gathered, or from what I've heard other people have gathered, I should say, if the Kings really, really wanted to make a move, like, let's say the Kings really were trying to push for OG or Pascal, whatever, whoever it may be, a big fish, my understanding is the Kings brass firmly believes that removing those protections would be very, very easy.
Mm-hmm.
They're not concerned about the fact that, yeah, you can't trade the next couple years because you have it tied in with these protections. Kings feel very confident that they can remove those protections if they absolutely needed to. So I wouldn't get stuck on any of that stuff being something to prevent the Kings from making a move
if
they really want to make the move. They really have no doubt. I mean, I don't want to overstep what I've heard, because I have not heard it directly from the mouth, but they have strong faith that it would not be an issue to remove those protections.
There you go. You heard it here first. Chris Watkins says the Kings, if they really want to do something,
yeah,
if they put their mind to it,
yeah,
they will get it done. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, it is time to start talking about the Suns and the Kings' mindset when they head to Phoenix, even though they gotta head to Phoenix. I won't get into that. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.